Coming to you on stage from the 2013 International G.I. Joe Collectors Convention, it's What's On Joe Mind Live with your hosts, Mike, Justin, and Gary.
Welcome to this live special edition of What's On Joe Mind here live on stage here at the 2013 JoeCon in Indianapolis, Indiana. Why? So Brian can't give me a vacation. That's why. We are a fan cast by the world of G.I. Joe. And joining me as always on the panel, the man who is the biggest Patriots fan that we have from GeneralJoes.com. Everyone please give a round of applause for Justin Bell.
Thank you. How you doing?
Give me your number.
Justin, how are you enjoying your time in Indianapolis?
I'm loving it. I haven't seen the city at all, but the hotel's been real nice.
Now, when you open your hotel shades, you get a beautiful view.
We took you past Lucas Oil Stadium.
That's where we're going. How's it like every morning to wake up and see Lucas Oil Stadium there?
I didn't even know my room had curtains, to be honest.
Oh, okay. Well, you got the lights out with the Hasbro guys or something?
No comment.
Okay.
On his back, enjoying Lucas Oil Stadium, just like Tom Brady.
Wow. So as you remember, there was a year ago, we had a certain bet on the program. Someone lost. And
these
they,
people don't listen to the show. What are you talking about?
Some do. Some do.
There's a few people out there that Gary's not related to, so. Just a couple.
So the bet was that the loser of the bet, which was you and your team, what was the score of that game?
New York Giants 21, New England Patriots 17.
There you go. That the loser had to wear a certain jersey. The loser had to wear a certain jersey of the victorious team. So now I think is a very appropriate time, since we aren't a very visual podcast, that you should probably wear this right now. Everyone, please get out your cameras. This is your photo opportunity. We gave him the red one so we won't get hit.
I feel like being picked first at the draft, yeah.
This should say derisively underneath it. Please, go on. The sign is in effect.
While he's putting that on, folks, he is he's also from, well, not from Indianapolis, but he did share time with me in Indianapolis. We actually went to rival high schools. He actually likes my, you're a fan of my rival baseball team. So God knows how we're friends at all, but we are.
Are we actually going to talk about G.I. Joe?
Yeah, we're going to get there. We're going to introduce everybody. Everyone please give a round of applause from Beachhead Mike.
Good to see everybody.
Good.
Again, and even the folks, the three of you who are not related to Gary.
Mike, why don't you tell us a little bit about the program and where folks that possibly might be coming in here for the first time, where they can find out more about What's On Joe Mind.
All right, well, as far as our show today, it's going to be a little bit different, obviously, with a live audience, which is rumored to be all ages except that. I think everyone did the right thing and sent their children away. Oh, not you. Not you. Ooh, you're in trouble. Not you. You have problems.
She doesn't count, Daddy.
She's seen it before.
Yeah. She's been in the room when we've been recording. That's. Child services will be seeing you outside. But I'm going to read the show rules because we're not used to rules. No, just be short enough to be a child is not a child.
Ooh. Where's Tom?
That's the
America's favorite churro. Here it is. The Oma Oni rule. Nice one.
There will be no cursing, which is a shame because cursing is bleeping funny.
Yeah.
There will be no heckling unless it's Justin and I get to do that. No one else heckles the Justin.
Nice shot.
Third, no direct questions concerning Hasbro, please, because neither the club nor us is Hasbro, and we are not allowed to answer for them, although Justin tries. last lastly, no video or flash photography, as it does anger the Justin and occasionally sends him into blind rages.
What is this, Joe Declassified?
It's something like that.
Okay,
it's,
all right.
We have Brian on stage with us because Brian knows first aid. But by all means, take pictures. Stay till the end of the show. We have goodies. We have handouts.
Mm.
Call your friends. Call your neighbors. Get somebody in the back of the building, please.
We're not afraid to buy our audience.
Hi!
And,
I think you scared him.
You think that echoed in the hallway?
Sounds fine to me.
All right.
Okay. Like good acoustics in this room. But let's roll.
All right. Segment one, as many of you discovered, Indianapolis is a big sports town. So what we like to do is go a little bit overtime with the club and allow you guys to ask more questions that possibly you may have wanted to ask during the club roundtable. Joining us up on stage, he's the man that makes jorts sexy, folks. It's the head of Fun Publications, the G.I. Joe Collector Club, and, well, we really don't want to talk about Transformers at all. It's Brian Savage. Everyone, please. Hell of a show. Let the guy know. Somebody give him a chuck sign.
For those of you who are visually impaired on the internet, we're actually holding up signs. The audience will have the appropriate reaction.
We're trying to break the audience early.
Yes.
You make them flexible early. But I have to say, Brian, it's an amazing lack of foresight. And the first time you decide to do an interview with us, it's in front of the car.
Well, the other problem that I have is I see James Cavanaugh sitting in the audience with a big piece of plastic. He came in with a toolbox. I'm waiting for the sledgehammer and the melon to show up here in a minute. So I'm a little frightened.
He is thinking of your congoers by establishing the splatter zone.
I understand.
Safety first.
Good job, James.
So we're going to start up, and we're going to grease the wheels, so to speak. Each one of us will have a question to ask. Ryan, hopefully you can answer it quickly so we can get to more of your questions out in the audience. So my first question is, Ryan.
Keep them pretty much to yes and no, and I'll pass.
Okay. My first question is, since you took my vacation away from me this year.
Yeah.
Why Indianapolis?
Well, I guess the answer is, why not Indianapolis?
I live there.
Science and art and how you pick a convention city. Basically, we look at different responses from hotel chains and city convention visitors bureaus across the country, and then you put them all in a box and shake them up, and we pull one out, and that's the city it is.
Awesome. So there are no lab apples.
Only if we can find them.
So what you're saying is clearly I have no pull with the club whatsoever.
You said it, I didn't.
Okay.
Really, that's for the best.
Justin?
Yeah, you're one of the few people that's able to take their fandom and kind of translate it to a full-time job. Does that leave you any opportunity to still be a fan, or does that kind of take some elements of that away?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. The interesting part is that over the years, the club has actually affected the mythos, not only in G.I. Joe, but also in Transformers. We've had Hasbro adopt some of our characters. We've had other companies make exclusives based on our concepts. And so that's the interesting part, is we pretty much get to make it up as we go along. We do have an awful lot of help with the fandom out there. And that's the fun part. The other part about the business is the thing you have to remember, and anybody that's considering going into a hobby-based business, is first of all, you need to make sure it's a business, okay? Because you've seen many shows, many promoters, many things go by the wayside over the years, and we've been around somewhere around, I don't know, 16 years, I think is the count, something like that, and we're still here. There's a lot of people that have gone by the wayside because sometimes you have to make hard decisions that you don't really want to make, but in order to keep the business viable and alive, you have to make a choice.
Mike?
So, and I think you've done an excellent job at that, by the way.
Thank you.
But
butt. Everybody's got a big butt.
No. He's got a really big butt.
Bazinga.
We hear that one all the time. Well, I really love that. But okay, go ahead.
It's a little unusual being out here and, you know, podcasting live and knowing that Justin Bell is undressing me with his eyes. My butt, just filler words. But my question is more getting back to you as a fan. We know how you're running business. We're here despite that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Come on.
Come to the dark side. We have cookies. We have action figures, too.
Come on, folks. I got John Chu on the delay. You think I'm afraid now? No. So, Brian, what is your entry point into this as a fan? You know, when you're not doing club business, what makes you do the little nerd giggle and, you know, really, really get up for being a Joe fan?
Well, for a Joe fan, I come at it from a long way back. You have to think back for a lot of folks out there. We're listening on this thing called the internet that never existed when we started. You actually had to trade, God forbid, by reading a publication. You know, which a lot of people can't read, so that would be a whole bust now. So now that we have pictures and diagrams, it's a lot easier. Cartoons.
Ha ha ha. I think you've lost them.
But no, I actually started back in. My story is I started in college. I had a roommate who collected Hot Wheels, and I said, "Ooh, that was cool. Hey, I remember G.I. Joe. He was really cool. I think when I get out of school, I'm going to collect something." So this is a 12-inch date. And I didn't have a whole lot. I probably had four figures, some Adventure Team, and mishmash of parts and things, which I still had because I never let my mother throw anything away. In the 60s, this was probably when I was about six, I had read an article about a vintage toy store in New York City. And I thought, ooh, that's really cool. I should keep all my toys because they'll all be worth something someday. Needless to say, they were broken and damaged and missing parts and so on and so forth. So I came at it from a natural collecting gene. Anyway, we believe that people actually have a genetic modification that makes them collect items. And there's other people that don't. But so I was interested back after college and had found my old figures from my mother, like most of you, you know, did as well, and kind of got into it. The very first time, you know, this is when we used the inappropriate words that we didn't know that, you know, there were action figures back then. You know, we went to a flea market and I bought, I don't know, I think it was 11 pieces and parts to about 11 different 12-inch figure sets, like an Annapolis Cadet, things like that. And you had no idea what they were because there were no books. There was no anything. All you had were the cross sells that came with the packaging to try to figure out what went with what. And I turned to my wife and I go, you know, I just spent $40 on some doll clothes. Am I crazy? You know, and that was kind of the beginning of the whole thing. Before we lived in Raleigh for 7 years, and before we moved to Raleigh, I had all of my G.I. Joe items would fit under a trundle bed that I had, a single trundle bed. When we moved back after I'd started the company, we almost had to have an extra truck we had about a semi-truck and a half to move back with the collection and all the household goods. So it really changed in the first 5-6 years that I started in collecting. But in terms of today, sometimes it's really being so far involved, I may not have a fan thought for G.I. Joe, but I still watch other properties. You know, it's like I was saying earlier in our presentation today, for our 12-inch convention set this year that is a very spy thing based. You know, we went back and stole from just about every media item about spies and, you know, and monsters and subculture and things that we possibly could to weave it all into one story for this year's convention set. So again, that's the fun part, is changing the IP, coming up with new stuff, and kind of weaving everything together that's ever been.
Nice. Next.
Then I hold up the sign. I'm going to take credit anyway.
Now's your turn. Can you walk around the mic? Anybody have any questions that they want to ask that they didn't get a chance to ask during the club round table? Questions to Brian? Yes, sir. You look dangerous. You look like an Azari.
More of a question for Justin. Oh, by the way, Gary, welcome home.
Thank you.
Just to get this out of the way, really, last time I was downtown, there was some game going on. What was the score?
It was 21-17. The Giants beat somebody.
Once again, are we going to talk about G.I. Joe in this G.I. Joe podcast?
Questions for Brian.
I did actually have a legitimate question.
All right, go right ahead, though.
When you talked about how you got started in collecting, what brought about the idea for getting the con going and then, you know, being able to turn this into a business and, you know, getting everybody else in with party favors and toys and sick, you know?
Okay, well, here's, I'll give you the long version. You wanted it short, but here comes the long version, okay?
Uh-oh.
That was back in the 80s when I first started collecting. The other oddities in the world of my fandom is that the lady that wrote the very first book, a lady named Malala Ayala, lived in Fort Worth. I met her because I put an ad in the paper. It wasn't a personal ad. It was an ad for looking for G.I. Joe. And yeah, yeah. And she answered it, and it turned out that she had written this manuscript. And so I said, well, really? I said, can you get a poem? Well, I sold it to a lady named Carol Moody. So some of you may have seen the Carol Moody book. And it's got some pictures that are messed up. Figures are the wrong thing. Because Carol didn't really know about what went with what with G.I. Joe. But Lila did. And that was the first manuscript that ever was written. And I asked him, an aside, is I asked him, well, how did you come up with the price guide? Because there was no eBay. eBay wasn't even a twinkle in anybody's eye at that point. And they said, well, we sat down and made a list of what we thought we'd pay for everything. And then we looked at it and go, you know, if we put this out, our stuff really won't be worth anything. So they raised it like 20%. So that was the first price guide that came out. So I ran into her in Fort Worth. One of the first people that had started a collector convention was a lady named Eva Thompson. And she started this back in Dallas. A very small event, and the very first one that I didn't go to, and I know y'all will have a hard time believing, I didn't go, because it was on the day I got married.
Okay. Priorities, Brian, priorities.
So, you know,
still have a hard time.
I tried to sneak out and go, but I just couldn't quite get there that day. But that was one of the first conventions, and Lord, that was 25 years ago. So like one of the first promoter people was close to where I was. That's where I was. So I'd met them. I used to work for a little company called 9X, New York, New England Telephone. But I worked in the computer division with selling microcomputers. At one point, I was transferred to Raleigh, North Carolina. That's how I got there. I was the branch manager in Raleigh. Our company division, after being there a couple of years, was sold off to our friends at Computerland, which is now gone. And so we had a lot of large accounts, and they basically didn't want to pay us because we made too much money. Because we were kind of like, we only called on the Fortune 16. We didn't do, or Fortune 20. We didn't really do consumer-based stuff. And so they got rid of all of us after they got on our accounts. And I'd always wanted to work for myself. And so I looked out there before, and if anybody remember, you old folks out there, a publication called Toy Shop, okay, it was a newspaper, and then the other was, the doll, I can't think of the name. There was a doll collecting newspaper too, I'm blanking on the name. But what they did is that was 40 pages of classified ads that weren't classified. So when you wanted to find something, you had to go, read all 40 pages. But like, then you'd call that person, then you'd talk to them, then you'd send pictures in the mail. This is the way it was done back in prehistoric times, okay? So I thought, well, hey, I think there are people, I've been to shows, and there's people that do in the same household. He does toys and she does dolls. So I think a publication that marries the two together, okay? So Master Collector was born at that point because the Toy Shop was classified. Oh, it was Collectors United was the other paper. Collectors United wasn't classified, so we said, hey, we'll make three different sections. We'll have a toy section, a doll section, and we started with a train section too. Then we figured out after about 4 months that whole group had their own club-based thing that was very closed, and so we killed that off immediately and got rid of it. Kept the dolls and toys. Then, for those of you who know, a gentleman named James DeSimone, in California. He had a very small collector's club of about 230 people. And I met him at a show and said, hey, because he put out a newsletter, semi whenever he wanted to. And he did everything in the newsletter. And so I said, hey, would you like to go together and do a monthly? You do a newsletter, I'll handle the distribution and all that, but you have to write it and you print them and you send them to me. Now remember, this is back when it was 200-something people, okay? And then we'll put them in the magazine and Master Collector, give them a free ad, blah, 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 blah. So he said, yeah, okay. So we did that for a year. This was back in 94. At 94 convention, was anybody here that was at the 94 convention in New York? Okay. What did they do at the 94 convention?
I don't know, I was 15.
Okay, he was 15 and he slept since then. So they canceled the line. So at the dinner, at the convention that night, they said, here's all these great prototypes, like they showed the G.I. Joe train. And there was some other items that they showed that were one-of-a-kind prototypes. They said, well, guess what? We're not making these. We're canceling these. And we're going to four and a half inch or whatever, 5.5 inch for Sergeant Savage, which I'm all good with that. I mean, I thought it was a great name for a line. But anyway, that line had potential. It was just the wrong scale and the wrong thing. But anyway. So they announced that, so everybody got depressed, and then Mr. DeSimone at that point decided he didn't want anything else to do with the brand, so here I am, I've started this magazine, I've got these subscribers, and I need to do a newsletter. Well, you know what, I'd like to have one of these and one of these and one of these, but I don't really care that I have the one that has three paint colors, and there's six different paint color variations of this. I don't need all six, I just need one. So I never really looked at the details, on those items. So my talent is I'm able to get other people to write things in for me, okay? And so that's why I went and asked people, well, who do you know can write this or write that? So we had a list of writers came in, and we contacted them and said, yeah, I'll write something for the club newsletter before we called it a magazine, before we went to that format. And so that's how we really started. I really started as an editor of the whole thing, not, that I wrote every article. Because like Daryl has infinite knowledge about the pieces and parts of G.I. Joe, Daryl Wood Priest, that I'll never have in my lifetime, okay? Because I'm just not that detailed on those types of things. So I told you it was a long version. So anyhow, so that got the club going. So now we've got the club going, but we're not licensed yet. So I had met the Hasbro people, Karen Lehman and Kurt Groen, were the people on the team. Karen was marketing and Kurt was the designer. And had met them at a couple of conventions, at the New York convention, and then there were some other smaller things that people went to. And they came to me and said, hey, first I went to them and said, I want to do a club, because you don't have a club, so how about you let me run the G.I. Joe Collectors Club? And they said, okay. So we wrote up a contract, and that started. And then after a year, when two things happened. One, we said, hey, how about if we do an exclusive? Would that be okay? So they said, okay. So we started with that, and that manufacturing was all done in the U.S. by hand, by kitchen elves in somebody's house in Atlanta. Later that year, they come to me and said, would you like to put in a bid for that? So my design was, if you went to any of the early ones, most of the time you come to these and people treat these like what? Like a grand toy show. Okay. I knew that over the long haul that would not work, because what happens is, if you think about collecting is a pyramid. And when you start, you have a very large base across the bottom that you're collecting. And as you move up the pyramid, the items you're looking for get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. So the likelihood that someone was going to drop $1,000 to travel here, pay for a hotel, get a package or whatever, to find that one item they're missing, over the long haul would be slim to none. So the way that you get people involved is you make it a grand social event. So this is the point in time when on the internet, we really didn't have internet, we had AOL. And so yeah. You had a lot of AOL, if you remember, AOL chat rooms, that was the thing. And get online and do the talk, type really fast while there's six people asking you a question at one time and you're three questions behind, but you're answering all of them. So that gave people a venue to come together and visit their friends that they were now seeing in the chat rooms, emailing back and forth. And so we said, okay, I've been to a few conventions in my life. I work for a Fortune 20 company. I know what they're like. I've traveled. So here's the things we should do. We have some tours. Originally, the very first one we did, we actually had a kids convention where we had daycare people come in too. That didn't work. Because there wasn't enough people took advantage of that. So I said, we need to have tours, we need to have a dinner, we need to have some exclusives, and we need to have a great, exhibit room, dealer hall as well. Because it's all kind of folds together. So that was the design I gave them at that point. And then they said, okay, we'd like for you to do it now. And so they wrote us the contract for that. And here we are, 16 years later, something like that. And we're still doing them today because it gives the fandom a focal point through the year to come together. It's kind of like, and I've heard this several times from people in the past, I'm just really tired. I've got so much stuff. I was planning to get out of the hobby. But you know what? I decided the last thing I'd come to this weekend. And boy, I had such a great time. I'm staying in. I'm going to keep going G.I. Joe and do a lot more than I've ever done before. Thanks for having me here and getting me all energized again. So that's why it truly is, the way that you can describe it is a big group hug, for G.I. Joe fans and collectors once a year that you get to see your friends and have a convention. So there you go. We just got some hugging going on next to me. I'm not going to name names.
I'm not going to do you, Mike. Don't worry.
So that's my long-winded answer into how we got to where we are today. And along the way, the same thing happened with BotCon.
We don't care about BotCon.
Said, don't you want to do this? No. I don't know anything about that. Why don't you want to do this? I don't know anything about that. I don't need to. And then I got a call one day. We need you to really look at this. Because the guys doing it are in trouble, and it's just not working out. Okay. I'll go look at it. But I knew I would have to hire more staff and more people. So for a little bitty company, it was a major paradigm shift. And it kind of scary because, I had to hire people that had skills, that could do things. Like graphics. Okay. And actually take care of them and feed them and house them. Kind of thing.
Entirely different than, say, podcasting.
Yes, different than podcasting, where you don't feed them or house them or take care of them whatsoever.
Or have any discernible skills.
That's exactly right. No skills needed. So I went and I said, I need to look at it. When's the next one? Friday. Where's it at? Chicago. Okay, well, get me an airline ticket and I'll go look at it. So we did, and what we found out was, in terms of the social aspect of the groups are similar. There are differences. You come at it from a collector standpoint. They come at it from a fan standpoint, which is different. And that's kind of like you're more into the pieces and parts and things and stuff and things like that. They're more into the personas, the characters, the art of that type. Just like you might have somebody that is a, what are the sports teams that we've been boring everybody with so far, fan?
Patriots.
Just like you might say, I'm a Patriots fan. This is the same way they define themselves, which is not quite the same as the way Joe collectors. But we after doing one convention, we understood, we got the message. We understood the difference, and then we made adjustments. But the basic formula for both groups is the same, though you take out pieces and parts, and they're interchangeable to how you do this or how you do that. So it's the same kind of design, but then you customize it for that collecting or fan group.
All right. Give one final question to the crowd, because we've got to move on. Oh, it's Mr. Star Joe's.
It's the other Chuck.
The other Chuck.
Give him a Chuck sign.
Give the Chuck.
No. It's a Chuck sign of love. First, G.I. Joe convention, thank you very much. Having a great time.
Thank you for coming. Long-time listener, first-time caller?
Long-time listener, first-time caller. Thank you very much. I really love the G.I. Joe comic book included with the club and the stories that goes along with the box set and everything like that. Was there any thought ever given to producing like a coffee table book of the G.I. Joe box art, the figure packaging art, the file cards on the back, to have it all in one cohesive book that you can keep in? Well, there are lots of people, many people have thought about a coffee book before. The issues today are, if you haven't noticed, bookstores are going out of business. It's the distribution part of the book. Those books are really expensive to make. So unless you can get it into a major chain somewhere, bookstore, it would be a tough sell. I've seen some items that people are working on right now as we speak. Maybe a long coffee book, maybe more industrial design, things of that type. So you may look for that in the future, but right now, we wouldn't mind sharing that with somebody else, our images, but it's probably not a project we would take on because it would just eat us up.
Okay.
You know, in terms of the amount of time, right?
From James Cavanaugh and from Mark Morello. Those books are great, and we
and
really
noted author, James Cavanaugh.
I'm sorry, James, okay. I insulted you. I apologize.
Noted author, James Cavanaugh. But those books are great, and we really enjoy those books as fans, and I think that a lot of people buy the file cards, and a lot of people look for packages, the complete box set for their figures and for their vehicles, and it would be just a great place to house all those, and it would be really wonderful to have something like that, and if the club would be able to produce them, if you have the images, or I don't know if you have access to that stuff, or so that's why I was thinking maybe we'd something the club would produce, and you could just sell it at the conventions and things of that nature. And you could take it to every show every year, and it would be something you could, right, keep going with, and you wouldn't have to update it that often.
Yeah, like I said, it's a good project. It's probably not a good project for us because we've only got a limited amount. Back what I said in the beginning is you have to treat a hobby business like a business, not just something because, for instance, like the gentleman that asked me in our panel, are we going to continue the Lost Talkers? Okay, I would love to continue the Lost Talkers, but right now the economics of it tell me that that's a bad idea and a bad use of our resources. So, like I said, it would be something we'd be, happy to share with another project, but it's probably not anything we would do, as a company.
Well, thank you.
But thanks for the idea.
No problem. And again, we're from Cleveland, and so if you want to have the next G.I. Joe convention in Cleveland, we would welcome you with open arms, unlike Gary.
No.
And I do have a little present for Justin.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, thank you.
This is sucking up right here. This is complete sucking up.
Give him the real Chuck sign now. Real Chuck sign.
All right, I saw that there's one more question out in the crowd. We're actually running low on time. we're running low on time, so you might want to save that for him privately. Because we're going to move on to the next portion of the show because they do have to turn this room over for the casino night and dinner. I do want to thank Brian for coming up here. And
thanks for having me.
Allowing us to haze him for a while. A big round of applause to Brian. All the work he does, all the crap he takes from nasty collectors.
Just keep in mind, I'm just as good at hazing back, so.
I'm all right with hazing. Okay.
You should have next year's con in Indianapolis.
Oh, God. No, wait a minute. It's going to Cleveland.
I think it's Fairbanks, Alaska.
That joke. Well, speaking of running jokes, God. But thank you very much. Brian, you can join us up here if you like, Brian, or we can run you off. Okay. Everyone, round of applause. There we go. Going to do now is we're actually going to do, while he's standing up, we're going to send our roving mic, beachhead mic, out to the audience.
The puns don't get any better.
To grab a microphone, and he's going to interview you. Now, a little while back, we asked you guys on one of our podcasts to please send us in your one-word issues. So we've compiled a list of one-word issues, and we've put them on the finest hotel stationery.
We pared down the list of 9 one-word issues to 6.
So. Yeah, I mean, I think about the 6, yeah. And put in this nice little retaliation hat. I'm going to have Justin pick the first one. And we're going to talk about a couple of these issues. And normally we would do this on the podcast. What is it? Come on, Justin. There you go.
Football. Well, what do you know?
No.
You want us to talk about football?
No. Oh, the fandom. The one-word issue is the fandom. Fandom in crisis. So. Oh, there goes the beach ball.
So what am I taking, show of hands here?
No, you can just stick a mic in front of anybody you want. Somebody. He's going to pick on somebody.
I want people that actually want to talk. I don't want to.
George?
Hey, George. George is on the show all the time. I don't want George. Oh, we know what George is all about. Tom, do you
you a few words? Come on, Tom.
America's favorite cheer up.
You said no profanity, so I'm really not
even. Your thoughts on the fandom.
Your thoughts, Tom.
Your thoughts on the fandom.
I think we're the best community there. I can't keep that up. No, I think the only thing G.I. Joe fans like less than G.I. Joe. Nah, I can't finish that either. I think that's about the bottom of it. I think G.I. Joe fans wake up every morning and wonder, how can I destroy the thing I love? How can I let the people in charge know how much I hate it every day? And we do a pretty good job of it, to be fair. Yeah.
All right. Are we taking responses?
What the fandom? Your response to the fandom. You run a fan site.
Sure.
Your feedback from the fans.
I think what happens with the G.I. Joe fandom, as with any fandom, is that the most negative folks are often the most vocal. If you like something...
Do a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, if you like something, you're kind of quiet about it because you like it. You don't have anything to complain about. But if you don't like it, then you're going to let people know you don't like it. So I think that does kind of send a mixed signal that things are negative, because the most vocal people are the most negative people in general. I wish some more positive people would speak up. I mean, everybody knows me. I'm an overly optimistic kind of fellow.
Apologist.
That too. So, part of me wishes some of the more positive folks would continue to speak up and make their voices heard. But, I mean, obviously, especially a weekend like this weekend where Hasbro didn't especially have a lot of stuff to show, there could potentially be a lot of negativity out there. So I think it's important, just if you like something, don't be afraid to speak out about it. I've been in the G.I. Joe online fandom for probably 13 or 14 years. If I didn't like it, I wouldn't still be in it. So, it's the greatest bunch of down-to-earth guys and girls that I've seen in many online fandoms. So I don't have any major complaints about that. But as with any fandom, the negative stuff kind of rises to the top. So
I think you catch more flies with the honey rather than vinegar. And we say it on the show, and I'm going to censor myself here. D-Bad, don't be a...
jerk.
Yeah. I think that gets you a long way, especially when you want to be heard. Some people talk about us on the show going light on Hasbro or going light on the club. What good is it for us to jump up and down, be a bunch of raging morons? Mm-mm. You can go read that someplace else. Sites withheld. But you can go read that someplace else. Okay, you all right? Okay. You can go read that someplace else. I think it's always good to be positive and try to give constructive criticism rather than just being a jerk.
Yeah, and being positive doesn't necessarily mean that you love everything regardless. I mean, there is constructive criticism, and I think
yes,
that's an important part
exactly
of anybody's hobby. There's a difference between constructive criticism and being a jerk.
And I think we try to convey some of that. Certainly, when we don't like something,
we just cut off Chuck.
We just cut Chuck.
Yes, that's exactly.
And we end up having a show. But I think sometimes, especially with us, I mean, this exists because of the internet. You know, as far as not this, but I mean, us as a show exists because of the internet. And at times we get a little too drawn in. And we can't see out of the top of the hole and understand that there are people out there who have been fans of this property for 30 years, and they couldn't care less about what happens online. And they love it because they love it, and that's all. They don't care what anybody else says. So it's real easy when your main conduit to this is fan sites, especially toy fan sites. I hate them just as much as you do, I'll be honest with you. But you have to understand that there's more out there. There's more out there. My brother, who fed me a question before, you won't find him online, but he's been doing this just as long as I have. He has no screen name, but he's a fan, and he's at the con, and he's spending way too much money.
Can you do
that? I know, weird. I, for years and years, I egged him on. It's like, you got to get involved with this stuff. You got to join up with this stuff. Dude, I was wrong. How about that?
Oh, I got that. I'm recording that.
Yeah,
it's been recorded. I'll use that soundbite over and over and over again.
We'll give you my dad's email address later on.
All right.
But I could go on about that for hours. And Tom, thank you for playing.
I have our next word here.
It's important.
I have our next word. Our next word is distribution.
Distribution.
Let's talk to somebody that might have an issue with distribution, or maybe a good story about distribution.
Oh, I got a guy who's got a problem with distribution.
Oh.
When I hear people's problems about picking stuff up at retail level,
as your heart bleeds,
you've got it in the country you live in. And that's all I gotta say.
We'll get another comment on distribution.
Yeah, I think we should.
All right, we have to get that in.
Having just visited the UK, it's kind of sad and barren. I will say that most of the online stores that I order from, distribution is wonderful. Mm-hmm. Are great. They get to you quick. You get what you want. Don't spend a whole lot of time. You don't spend gas money. I found the internet to be incredibly helpful in that way, especially living in New York City. We've got like 3 toy stores and 130,000 people trying to collect. Online is a great resource.
So, gentlemen, we've got a couple different ideas.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting that they worked so hard to make G.I. Joe Retaliation a global film and somehow lacked the forethought to make the toys available internationally. That seems like a little bit of a mistake. But as far as distribution goes, I mean, anybody who's listened to the show has listened to my complaints about, I have kind of the opposite problem of being in New York City. You know, I've got maybe 13 people collecting, but I've got absolutely no toy stores to choose from. So for me, online is the best outlet as well. Using pre-orders, you know, various things like that. Well, that's an option. Just jump on the bear and ride into the nearest Toys R Us.
That's what I'm saying. Bears are pretty fuel efficient.
No bears!
All right. We'll do one more, and then we'll wrap this up. One more. Justin?
Somebody just come yell at you, Gary? Is that what happened?
I kind of got the sign. Right. Wrap her up.
Good one.
Oh, wow. The issue is, I think we heard a little bit, 50th anniversary. I think I have some concerns about 50th anniversary. I don't know anything about it right now. Right. There's nothing out there. Does it concern anybody?
Did I give you the microphone?
I have one in front of me.
Well, am I handing you the microphone? Do you have the roving mic?
No.
Don't think you
go
do.
Rove.
Don't think you do.
Fight.
All right. Well, let's get to anybody.
Yes. I do a lot of freelance work with IDW, and there is an idea that's floating out there for a 50th anniversary book that I think a lot of people would be very interested in, but I wish I could talk more about.
Wow. Nice, Jim.
Wow.
Well done, Jim. Jim Sorrell.
Wow.
Well done.
Just add a few teas.
I'd like to say that, gentlemen, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for your podcast.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Yes.
This goes back to Hasbro. Why are they not leveraging the technology out there? It's free. They could very much be engaging the fandom as well as consumers. I look at their stock markets. You have to wonder what's going on with management. Where do we go from here? I like the email address. Mm-hmm. That's one place to start, but you kind of got to wonder. It's like, guys, where's your marketing staff? What are they doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously we're not qualified to speak for Hasbro necessarily, but I mean.
But he tries. Oh. That was Mike.
That's a hot mic.
We he warned you not to go there.
Yeah, they're cutting you off, Mike.
But Justin tries. He does try to speak for Hasbro.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's you know, there's obviously some concerns. You would think a 50th anniversary type of celebration would be cause for fireworks, balloons, all sorts of exciting things. I mean, you got to remember, 1964 wasn't just the birth of G.I. Joe. It was the birth of the term action figure. And I think that deserves some recognition. And it's kind of sad and disappointing that we don't have any evidence of that as of now. It is early in 2013. You know, there could be something planned for 2014 that we don't know about. I do wish there's a little bit more back and forth. I think that's what the club is kind of there for, and that's what these conventions are there for. You get John's ear, you get Daryl's ear, you kind of let them know what you want to talk about, what you want to see. And hopefully everybody is doing that, taking that opportunity this weekend to do that. And I think that's the best we can do as far as the 50th. I do wish we had more visibility as far as that goes, though, I'll be honest.
But, hey, I mean, if you want to throw us on the log there, I mean, maybe we know they listen to us. So if you want to say, hey, I was at the What's on Joe Mind's Path, and they said we should write a letter on the 50th anniversary, do it. Throw it. We're a mouthpiece. They want to come back and talk to us about it.
We are the mouth of doom, yes.
Yes, I mean, so obviously we can try and class up from a two-bit slack shop. But really, if you want to, throw us out there, throw whatever weight you have. Say that the club said that, you know, they told us to write letters, so here it is. You know, say that, let them know that you're investing time and resources, and you're not just picking up something to throw in your kid's Easter basket. You know, maybe let it, give them an idea of how much... Of you know, how much money that your husband is spending on that pterodrome, and we know you want to, Stephen. We know you want to.
All right.
We got one more?
I think we're done. We're running low on time. This is the part of the program where we will do our shout-outs. But basically, we are running extremely long on time here, so... I do want to thank Brian Savage for allowing us as fans to be a part of JoeCon and to get a chance to be in front of you guys. So definitely an applause from us. I'd like to thank everyone that's made the show as good as it is today. Certainly with these guys sitting next to me, Justin and Mike, and to a lesser extent, Chuck. I'd like to recognize former host Greg. Come on, Greg, say hi. He's our legacy original host. Known author James Cavanaugh, Jay Hunger, Terry Desard, contributors Mo Hunger, Craig Moore, George Greeno, Dave Tree, Brian Costello Jr., Jared Brunell, Gary Head, Kevin Watts, sponsors Kokomo Toys, Joe Armory, all the cool stuff, Bounty Hunters Toys, and Dallas Vintage Toys, and many others whom I won't get to mention because we're, again, running out of time, and I probably forgot them. But not before mentioning our wives and the family that is right here on the script.
Good save, Gary, good save.
Right there. But before you go, be sure to stop by our stage on the way out. We have some exclusive James Cavanaugh card art of IDW's hashtag here for you. If anyone that listens to the show knows that we have a regular listener and contributor that was not named, who might be named after a hashtag, or hashtag might be named after them, actually. You should do it right. Come pick these up, tell you about the show in the back, and it's exclusive to just this portion of the con, and maybe later tonight at the dinner. So come pick those. I got plenty of them. We got pins up here, too. You definitely need to come and pick up a pin. But let's get out of here with a loud round of applause. Please, come on, keep going. So for our showrunner, Chuck, co-host, Justin, Mike, I'm Gary, and all of our men and women, Godspeed. God bless and come home safe. Good night, folks, and thanks for listening and attending to this live edition of What's on Joe Mind. We are now out of here with Mambo Time.
Mambo!
Thanks, guys.
Mambo with James.